Introduction. The Asia-Pacific region has made impressive gains in poverty reduction during the past three decades. The proportion of poor almost halved during this period. In 2011, less than 20% of the region's population lived on $1.25 per day or less, as compared to more than 50% in 1990. The absolute number of people living in poverty in the Asia-Pacific region came down from 1.6 billion to about 0.9 billion, still a formidable number during the same period. United Nations Economics and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific, UNESCAP 2013. Poverty is no longer measured only in terms of income deprivation. The Multidimensional Poverty Index, MPI, measures acute human poverty, which considers people deprived in one-third or more of the 10 indicators of the three dimensions of health, education, and living conditions, to be extremely poor. The deprivation of good health reflects the survival of the individual. The deprivation of education shows the lack of knowledge needed to fully participate in all spheres of life, and the deprivation of living conditions relates to a decent standard of living. About 1.1 billion people in the region, which is 200 million more than those affected by income poverty, suffer multiple deprivations as measured by the MPI Alkire et al., 2011. Poverty reduction has been accompanied by growing income inequality. In the past two decades, starting in the mid-1990s, the Gini coefficient. Note reference 1. The most common measure of inequality has risen sharply in Asia from 38 to 47. If inequality had stayed stable instead of rising, around 240 million more people in Asia could have escaped poverty. Asian Development Bank ADB 2012A. Levels of hunger and malnutrition did not decline at the same pace as the decrease in the proportion of the region's poor. For example, the number of undernourished children declined modestly, from 26% in 1990 to 18% in 2009. South Asia not only had the highest number of malnourished children under 5, 30% in 2011 to 12 United Nations, 2013, but also exhibited marked inequalities in the decrease of child malnutrition between the richest 37% in 1995 to 26% in 2009 and the poorest 64% in 1995 to 60% in 2009. ADB, 2012b. 11 of 14 Asian countries. Page 2. Were reported to have serious or alarming levels of hunger in 2011 as measured by the Global Health Index GHI. Note reference 2. International Food Policy Research Institute IFPRI 2011. Progress in the reduction of poverty and hunger during the new millennium has been severely hampered by recurrent crises on multiple fronts. There was an unprecedented hike in food and fuel prices in 2007 and 2008. According to Asian Development Bank ADB estimates, if food prices had stayed the same, about 112 million more people could have been saved from poverty every year based on the $1.25/day poverty line. ADB, 2012b. In 2008-09, immediately following the food crisis, was the worst economic and financial crisis since the Great Depression of the 1930s. In the Asia-Pacific region, the growth rate of GDP decreased from 3.1% in 2008 to 0.5% in 2009. Subregions that depended largely on exports and from remittances from abroad were more seriously affected. Fall in exports meant loss of jobs in the export manufacturing sector, while lower external revenues had negative implications for government budgets. UNESCAP, 2009. Loss of livelihood combined with cuts in public expenditure may have had a significant impact on health and well-being of the population, particularly on women and those from socially and economically vulnerable sections. Around the same time, the high cost of health care prevented about 1.3 billion poor globally from accessing health care services. 150 million people faced catastrophic health costs, too ill to work and spending beyond their means to get well. 100 million people were driven below poverty line to 2010a. If cuts in public expenditure on health as a consequence of the global economic crisis made the cost unaffordable, then insecure jobs, low wages, and high food prices left households with little money to seek health care onto Ness and Evans, M.D. Against this backdrop, It is not surprising that universal access to sexual and reproductive health (SRH) services remains an elusive goal, as reported by a recent study of selected countries in the Asia-Pacific region of Vindran, 2012. The central thesis of this paper is that it is not possible to achieve universal access to sexual and reproductive health services unless we tackle the root causes of poverty and hunger and of recurrent economic and food crises, and further, that the root causes are the forces of neoliberalism, globalization. At the same time, sexual and reproductive health and rights (SRHR) is integral to development, and achieving SRHR is intertwined with achieving basic human rights, such as the right to adequate food and nutrition. To respond adequately to, or find ways out of, any one issue in isolation would not be feasible because of the many ways in which food security, poverty, and access to healthcare services are interwoven. The movement for SRHR would need to join forces with those working for the right to food and against poverty and neoliberal globalization to be able to challenge and dislodge the root causes. Similarly, in framing our agendas for food security, food sovereignty, rights to adequate food and nutrition, and SRHR, we must not lose out on the centrality of the woman, and her specific needs to adequate quality food, sexual and reproductive health, and the means of achieving these throughout her life cycle. Specific attention must be given to page 3. Critical groups of women such as the pregnant, lactating, and those living with HIV and AIDS, who have specific needs to food and therefore have a right to it.